I'm so thankful to be here this morning, and I just thank you for being so good to me. You're a great God. You're a great Father, and I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your mercifulness towards us, Lord, even when we don't deserve it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here together with other ladies and to discover your word that you want us to discover for ourselves, Lord. Help us be tuned together to observe and to interpret it in the way that you want us to interpret it. And most of all, Lord, help us to be able to apply your word to our lives, Lord. Show each one of us, even if it's something different, what we're supposed to do with what we've learned with this word this week and what we're going to learn today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and I pray all these things in your mighty son's name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, we looked in our lesson this week at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, next week in your lesson, remember I told you there are like four major passages in the New Testament on spiritual gifts. And next week you're going to look at two of those passages, or two more of them. And those of you that have done the study of Romans with us have a little bit of an advantage, because Romans is one of those passages you're going to look at. We really looked at that in depth in the part four of Romans that we just finished up. Did we just finish that before Christmas?
Yeah.
Wow, that seems like that was a long time ago. But anyway, so kind of that'll be a refresher course for some of you to look back at Romans chapter 12. But we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in our lesson this week. What was 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about? What's the subject? Spiritual gifts. It's about spiritual gifts. And you did a word study on gifts. And what did you learn about that word gifts? What is the Greek word?
Charisma.
Okay, it's charisma. It sounds like a English word that we have, doesn't it? Well, what does it mean in the Greek definition when you looked up your word study? Okay. A gift of what?
Grace.
Grace. Now, the word is charisma. Charisma. And I'm sure you're supposed to put that throaty thing in there, and the CH. But we see here this word, CHARIS. And if you know, what is the word? What is that word?
Love.
Not love. This word in the Greek is grace. That's grace. And so we see, and Misty said it, it's a gift of grace. So what does that tell us about this gift?
It's given to us through grace.
It's not something that we what?
Earn,
deserve. It's given to us by grace. Or what did you say, Liz? Or learn, is it? It's given to us by grace. Now, we also want to recognize, is this talking about a gift, like a package wrapped with a bow that's handed to you?
When I looked it up, the way I looked it up, I really like the way that it, I wanted to read off the definition.
Okay.
It was grace or gifts denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians, and enabling them to serve the Church of Christ. The reception of which is due by the power of divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit.
That's a pretty thorough definition there. But you see, and what it said something there about this power, right? And it's not a physical gift that you get. It's an ability, right? A divine ability, and it's supernatural. It's not a natural ability. Well, just that right there, first verse of chapter 12, verse 1 in 1 Corinthians, we've looked up the word gifts, and already we know that it is a supernatural ability that's given to us by the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at where we see that besides just in the definition itself, because it is a gift of grace. But what can this help us understand? Even though we haven't gotten to a list of what the gifts are, what does this help us understand about things that maybe traditionally we have considered a spiritual gift?
It's not something you can learn.
Okay.
You know.
But it's not the same as a what?
Talent.
talent, because a lot of times that's what we think, that a talent, and we'll say that God's really given them a gift, and we mean that in, you know, in the truest sense of the word, that He has given someone a gift. Jennifer, as most people know, has a beautiful voice, and she, it's a gift, but it's not a spiritual gift, right? And we'll talk about that in a little bit too, about how talents can be used, how your gift can operate through your talents. But a lot of people think that music is a spiritual gift, and it's not. And we'll see that as we go on. But that doesn't mean it can't be used and operate through your gift. Okay, so what did you learn about the word spiritual? Because you looked up that word spiritual too. Because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, what did you learn about spiritual? Okay. Again, it gives us that aspect of this is not just a talent or an ability, a natural ability, that it is something given by the Holy Spirit. And what is Paul's desire for the Corinthians concerning spiritual gifts? I like the King James word. What's the King James word, Miss Francis? He doesn't want them to be ignorant. New American Standard says unaware. I like that word, ignorant. He does not want them to be ignorant. So what does that kind of imply?
People are mixed up about what the gifts are.
That they were ignorant, doesn't it? That there was confusion. And we saw in our lesson that at the beginning where Kate did the explanation, how she talked about how 1 Corinthians chapter, or the book of 1 Corinthians divided, how he's presented with problems. And then, you know, he's giving them solutions. And this is one of the problems they were having. There was confusion about spiritual gifts. And so he didn't want them to be ignorant or unaware. Now, we talked about who gives the gifts, but I'm going to ask that question again. Who gives the spiritual gift? The Holy Spirit. And how do we know that?
Verse 11.
It does say in verse 11, what does it say, Cindy?
But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing them to each one individually, just as He wills.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit is the one who gives the gifts. And also, we see that in verse 11, but we also saw it in the definition itself, didn't we, of spiritual gifts. We see that that word for spiritual, pneumaticos, I'm not sure how you pronounce that. I didn't hit the little speaker thing. But it tells us that that is of the Holy Spirit. So in the very definition of the word, it tells us it's given by the Holy Spirit. But then God tells us in verse 11 that the Holy Spirit distributes. Okay, we looked up that word distributes. And what did that mean? Didn't we look at that word?
Mm-hmm. I got a division, different, diversity, administration, a variety.
Okay.
To assign.
Okay, to assign.
I think
divide into parts. I got that. Go ahead, Robbie.
It's like diatheromia is like where that comes from, and it's like the act of choosing. So it's like they are chosen specifically in this distribution.
Okay, and it says that He distributes them. He chooses them how in verse 11?
As He wills.
As He wills, and also distributes them what?
Individually.
Individually. So what does that tell us?
Everybody's not going to have the same spiritual gift.
Okay.
Some of us may share the same spiritual gift, but everyone may not have the same spiritual gift.
Right, but you see this idea of giving gifts to individual people, right? Like, here's the Holy Spirit, and He's distributing all these gifts individually to people. Not like, here's a church, and, you know, there's just like this gift that's like descends upon this church as a whole, but that He's giving them to individual people. Okay, you see that? That it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one picking and choosing, and you see that in that word distribute, don't you? That choosing, and to individuals, okay? And we want to keep that in mind. All right, Why are the gifts given? Okay, verse 7 tells us that they are given for the common good. The common good of who?
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ. Verse 7, it says, but to each one is given, and there you see that each one, just like that word individually, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Okay, and also we see that they're given for the common good, but they're also given, in verse 11, we've said this before, but we see it's an act of His will. It's an act of the Holy Spirit's will. And, you know, you might say, well, they've got that gift. Why don't I have that gift? Because, first of all, it wasn't the Holy Spirit's will that you have that gift. And secondly, that was not what was best for the common good. Okay? Now, what are the list of gifts that we come up with? Because there are some are mentioned more than once. But let's just list the ones as we have them mentioned, because we're going to want to keep a running list. Because as we look at these other passages dealing with gifts, some of these same ones will be mentioned again, but then other different ones will be mentioned. So you want to keep a list of what we come up with as far as the gifts go. But what is the first one? Okay. Wisdom. What else?
Knowledge.
Okay, the word of knowledge. Okay, keep going.
Faith.
Healing.
Miracles.
Prophecy.
Distinguishing of spirits. Okay. And one thing, just remember that we'll be going into these individually as the weeks go on. You'll look at what each one is. Distinguishing of spirits. Okay.
Tongues. Interpretation.
Okay. Interpretation of tongues. All right. What else?
Apostles.
Okay. Apostles.
Prophets.
Okay. That's mentioned already, right? Prophecy.
Teachers.
Okay, so then we'll go to teachers. Okay.
Administrations.
Okay. Anything else? Because last week y'all told me it was 14. I said, I have 13. Everybody said, no, there's 14.
We listed healing as one.
But it's four.
Okay.
The only thing is maybe various kinds of
prophets and prophecy are the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I went back and counted and counted. I'm thinking, they kept saying 14, but I have 13. And I went over and over it. So we're going to do it together in class. So there, we have a list at this point of what seems to be 13 different specific spiritual gifts mentioned. Okay? All right. When talking about spiritual gifts, what analogy does Paul use? The body, right? He talks about a body. And how does he use this analogy of the body?
They're different parts. Some of them might be weaker than others, but you have to have all of them to operate as a complete body.
Okay, so we have a body here that is, you know, obviously missing lots of parts. But then, you know, we've got inside the body. And so we've got hands and feet, and all the other parts of the body, ears, okay? And he gives this analogy of the body. And how does he relate that to spiritual gifts?
I think that the member plus their gift is equal to a part of the body.
Okay, in this picture, what is the body? Okay, the church. The body is the church, or the body of Christ, okay? I'll say the church or the body of Christ. Okay, the individual parts of the body are what?
Members.
Are people, right? In the parts of the body are individual people. Members of the body. Okay, right there. We see with that analogy, we asked the question last week, who are the gifts given to? And we said, they're given to who?
Believers. And he does declare that, like in the first couple of verses he's explaining. You were once this, now you're this.
Okay, and when you look at the context of the chapter, you see that he's talking to believers. Okay, and just the fact that we looked at the definition itself, and how the Holy Spirit is involved in the giving of gifts, that we see that this is talking about believers. And then if you're not sure that he hasn't said it already, you look at this analogy, and the analogy he's giving is a body, and that body is the body of Christ. And the individual parts of the body are individual people that are members of the body of Christ. Those are believers, right? So what are the gifts in this analogy? Okay, the parts of the body are the individual members, but the function of that part, okay? The function of the part is the gift. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the analogy, and it's such a great analogy because he's so clear about, it's such a clear picture of how the body works, because we know, and if I remember correctly, I think Kay will go into this on the video, and give a little example, but we know that we place more abundant honor on certain parts of our bodies than on other parts of our bodies. And I don't know about you, but nobody's going to see these thighs of mine. I'm not giving them any honor at all. None. Okay? But, you know, my eyes, I'm going to put makeup on them, you know, put mascara on them, curl my eyelashes. But I'm going to give honor to that, you know. But how do we, and he talks about that giving more honor to one member than another. How does that play out in spiritual gifts in the body of Christ? How do we do that?
We tend to honor the ones that are more visible.
We do what, Liz?
We tend to honor the gifts that are more visible, the speakers, those kind of gifts, whereas the people who do things behind the scenes, you know, get kind of swept under the rug and not thanked as much.
Sometimes when you don't understand the concept of spiritual gift and don't have clear teaching on spiritual gifts, you can become jealous of someone else's gift. And you don't understand that everybody is important. The body cannot function without all the members functioning properly. And so everybody is a vital working member of the body. If you're working in your spiritual gift, it doesn't matter if you're, like Liz said, out front speaking, you know, out there in the field, planting churches or doing evangelistic crusades or, you know, all these other things. It's those behind the scenes kind of people are vital to the work of the ministry and the working of the body of Christ. But as human beings, we don't always have that idea in our minds. We don't always see it that way. What contrast do you see? Because there were several contrasts in this chapter, comparisons and contrasts. What contrast do you see within this analogy that he gives of the body? Look in verse 12. Okay, we see a contrast that he says there's many members, but there's one body. That's how, whenever I write a contrast in my margin, that's how I do it. I do a little slash like that between the two things that are being contrasted. Many members, but there's one body. What is God's desire for the body regarding spiritual gifts?
Now, to work as a whole.
And they're not to be any what?
Division.
Where do we see that? in verse 25. Look at verse 25. Somebody read that. Okay, God doesn't want us to have division in the body. He's telling us there's many members, but there's one body, and I don't want any division. We looked up that word division, didn't we? And what did we find out?
A dissension.
I like this, a rent. You know, when I think of that word rent, you know, think about the rent veil. I mean, I just think about a huge tear when I think of the word rent. And God doesn't want that in the body. Because do gifts divide? Sometimes they do. And so we see that God wants unity. He doesn't want division regarding spiritual gifts. Okay, I want to back up. We talked about the list of gifts and what a spiritual gift is. We talked about the analogy that Paul uses. But I want to back up to verses 4 through 6. I can't teach these verses without thinking about Jennifer's mom, because this is what I taught on when we were in Romania. And every time I taught before I did, she gave her testimony. So I can't look at these verses without thinking about her. But what contrast do you see in verses 4 through 6? And let me just read that to you before we talk about it. It says in verse 4, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." What words do you hear that are contrasted? Okay, you have varieties and same. We looked up the word varieties. What does that mean?
Distribution, differences,
distinction.
Okay, a distinction arising from a different distribution to different persons. Does that give any indication of a good or bad type of word? It's just a difference, isn't it? It's a difference. But we sometimes assign, like we're talking about with the members of the body, how we assign kind of a good connotation or a bad connotation. This isn't talking about that. It's just a difference. A distinction arising from a different distribution to different persons. All right, so we want to see what it says are varieties, what are differences or distinctions, and what are the same. What's the first variety?
Gifts.
There's a variety of gifts, but the same what?
Spirit.
Who gives the gifts? The Spirit. There's a variety of gifts given to individuals, but it's the same Spirit who gives them to each individual, right? Okay. Now, what's the next variety?
Ministries.
But the same what?
Lord.
All right. Did you look up ministries? I think that was a word we looked up, right? What is that?
Service.
Okay, service. Anything else? Did you get the word office?
Mm-hmm.
That was in mine too. Service or office. So you have a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. You have different ministries, but the same Lord. And so what do you think it's talking about here when it's talking about different ministries? Okay. Or maybe teaching might be the gift, but the ministry might be teaching a class, right? Like teaching a children's class, teaching a precept Bible study. Okay? So what are some other examples? Let's get this word ministries. What is he talking about here in the idea of gifts? The way you use your gift, right? Here's the gift. Here's the way you use your gift.
execute, and that makes sense when you say execute.
Yeah, here's the gift. I'm going to be executing it. Right. And so here's the gift. Here's the ministry. Who gives the ministry? The Lord. Okay. How does that conflict with maybe some things that you might have seen in the body and people using their gifts? Sometimes people are not. They're in a ministry, and it's not their gift, isn't it? That if you've ever done a job in the church and it was pure drudgery and duty, you were probably not operating in your gift. Probably. Either your heart wasn't right or you weren't operating in your gift. But what I think about here is one time, and this has been many years ago, I was actually in precept training down in, I want to say Winter Park, Florida, somewhere down by Orlando, because I was staying with a friend in Orlando while I went to training. And there was a woman in the class that was talking about that she had the gift of teaching and how her pastor and her leadership did not utilize her gift, and that she was, you know, probably going to go to another church because she wasn't being, her gift wasn't being utilized in that church. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, the pastor is the person that God has allowed to be there in charge, and he's in charge of that ministry. And who gives you a way to use your gift? The Lord. Is the Lord not able to work through the man of God, his pastor? And if he wants you to have a ministry of using your gift in that place, is he not able to give you that opportunity? But sometimes I see people try to make their own opportunities. Do you know what I'm saying? Have you seen that? And you can't do that. The Lord is the one that gives you the service, the office, the way. And when we say office, you know, we don't mean title. We don't mean, you know, anything necessarily formal, but just a way to use your gift. The Lord's the one that guides that. And I know, I mean, I believe I've got the gift of teaching, and yet I know that at my home church for, goodness, a long time, a couple of years, I never taught at my church, but God made the opportunity for me to have a precept Bible study outside of my church. And I have met so many women in Camden County over the last 10 years because I've taught Bible study, meeting in different churches. And then God opened the door for me to meet in my own church. And so, you know, I didn't go to my pastor and say, listen, I have the gift of teaching and you need to utilize me. That's just icky. Any pastor with any sense would run a million miles from that. But you'd be surprised at how many times that pastors encounter that someone comes and says, this is my gift, and you need to put me here, here, or here. And, you know, we just really have to let God do that work. It's got to be of Him. Okay, so what's the next variety?
Effects.
But the same God. All right, you looked up the word effects. What does that mean?
Operation, working.
Okay. I have the thing wrought, or effect operation, okay? And I'm going to just put here, thing wrought. How does that work in this whole equation of here you have gifts, variety of gifts, variety of ministries, variety of effects, and we said here's the gift that's given by who?
Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Here's the way you use your gift that's given by
the Lord.
The Lord. And then you have effects who are given by God. And if effects are the thing wrought, how does that work? What is it talking about in the context of gifts?
Well, it brings it together to make it common good. I mean, it's given the actual gift or gift is given by the Lord, and then you act it out through the ministry, and then there's an effect from the ministry, which is all produced from God, and it's for the common good.
And the effect, I have a word in my mind that I think about. Result, Robbie, that's what I was thinking. The result of using your gift, I can't read that, result or results. Here's your gift. Here's the way you use it. And here's the results of you operating in your gift within the body. Are the results dependent on you?
No.
It's dependent on who? On God. But sometimes, and I think most of the time, we think the results either depend on us or they're because of us. If there's
sometimes we don't know the results.
And that's true. And I was going to bring that up too, Miss Madeline. And why do you say that sometimes we don't know the results?
Because we don't see it happen.
And we may not ever see it.
We may not.
And that's a great point but it frees us if we understand God's word, because we live in a result-driven society. And guess what? That has filtered its way into the church. And churches want to see results.
I feel like we need numbers or a product.
Yeah, and we define what the results are. Right. And so we determine what the results are, and then so we determine our success or failure based on what we've determined the results to be. And yet we don't see that in Scripture. And if we are operating in our gift in the way God wants us to, then God is the one that is responsible for the results. We're just supposed to do our job. That's liberating. It takes off so much pressure, doesn't it, Misty? I mean, it is liberating. It is very liberating. Throughout this chapter, we see that God is stressing the idea of unity. Do you see that in this chapter? Where he says he doesn't want any division, and then he's saying there's different things, but that we have this in common. You know, here are all these things that are different, but this is what we have in common. It's the same Spirit. We have the same Lord, the same God. And then he says in verse 6, where he says, there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So you see this idea of that God is telling us that there are differences here. We have these differences. But then he turns right around and says, but these are the things that are the same. But then to each one, you are getting an individual gift. But then you're all a body and a functioning body and a vital part of it. And I don't want there to be any division there. You know, there are individual members, but there's one body. So do you see how he keeps talking about the things that are different, but then stresses that sameness and that unity? Why do you think that God is stressing unity in this chapter? What is this chapter on? We've already said it. Spiritual gifts. Why do you think that God is stressing unity in this chapter? And frequently, now I don't think it's just sometimes, I think it's frequently gifts are divisive. And yet God doesn't want it to be that way. Can you think of a time where you've seen that division coming about as a result of gifts? I can remember, I know I've shared this before, and forgive me if you've heard it before, but the first year I went to Romania, I just went on the trip. I was just going with some other people and, you know, just went expecting to be told what to do. And there was a young girl, about, I don't know, 21 maybe, that went on the trip, and she believed she'd been called to be a missionary. And in her mind, she was going to, you know, be the lead missionary in charge of all, you know, teaching. And I just think she had this unrealistic picture in her mind of, you know, sitting with her skirt spread out in the meadow and the children, you know, circled around her and her teaching them the Word of God. Well, you know, we're in a room that is smaller than this house, and probably about the size of this front room and this room together, and we've got 225 kids in there. And, you know, then we, and they realized that none of the things that they thought they had prepared were going to apply or work. And so every night, you know, we're redoing and working on everything. And, you know, just those that have the gift just naturally step up and start operating in them. And she was very, very upset because I took the lead, and I very much got the feeling that the pastor who had organized this church, that his wife was in charge of what we were doing, and she wanted me to do that. She was relieved, you know, that I was helping pull things together, and but this other girl had a big problem with it, and the pastor's wife had to sit her down and talk to her and, you know, just say, listen, this is, you know, you're not acting right, that this, I need Carrie to do this, you know, I need her help, and she's helping us. And I just think that she had a very unrealistic idea of what her gifts were. That was a bird that just hit the window. Anyway, she had a that was another bird. Is it?
Poor thing.
If you're listening, there are birds attacking the windows, and we don't know why. It's like a whole bunch of robins out there. Look at all the robins out there on the ground. Okay. Where's Seth with the pellet gun when we need him? Birds are, like, three birds have hit the window.
So, maybe they want to hear God's word.
Maybe they do. Maybe they do. Okay, so sometimes when we have an unrealistic picture of gifts and we don't understand our own gift, and I can tell you this, my first time I studied spiritual gifts, not only will it help you understand your gift, it helps you understand why other people in the body act the way they do and why they don't act just like you. It will help you understand that so much. When you see that somebody that might be, you know, just really irritating you and rubbing you the wrong way, that they are acting out of their gifting, that they see things a different way because of their gift. And I'm telling you, it will help you so much understand why other people act the way they do. And it will help you have unity in the body and not have division. Because I think that's what causes division, is when we don't understand spiritual gifts. Not just our own, but other people's too. How does chapter 12 end? It ends with a very interesting verse. And remember, chapter divisions were not in the original, but this, what we're looking at ends with verse 31. And what does Paul tell the Corinthians there?
But earnestly desire the greater gifts.
He says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. We looked up that word desire. And what did you learn about the word desire?
Zealous.
Anything else?
To burn with zeal.
And this says, in a good sense, to be zealous in the pursuit of good. And so you see that it's not a negative connotation here. It's earnestly desire, burn with zeal for, exert oneself for the greater gifts. Now, does that seem contradictory to what we've looked at, where it says that the Holy Spirit gives the gifts, but then he tells us that we are to desire the greater gifts? And does that seem to contradict the idea that everybody's a vital part of the body and all the members are important, but he says greater gifts? Brandy's nodding yes. It does. It seems contradictory, doesn't it? But we're going to look at that more, and we'll understand that more before it's all over. But just, you know, when you have questions like that, that's good. Write it down, and we'll dig those answers out together. But then he ends, the very last sentence says, and I show you a still more excellent way. And I love that verse. And we're not going to look at it next week, but we will be looking at it 1 week. He says, I show you a still more excellent way. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what follows 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Chapter 13, which is the love chapter. What do you think that more excellent way might be?
Using these gifts in love.
And, you know, when you look at the context of this subject and how Paul placed it in this book, it's so beautiful. And we're going to see that more excellent way. And we're going to see how much we need. And I think we already know how much we need that teaching on love when it comes to gifts. I want to ask everybody a question and think about it. I want to hear feedback because I hope that you learned something this week. But what did you learn about spiritual gifts this week that surprised you? And I know some of you have already done Romans, and so you kind of had a little preview to this. But what have you learned about it so far, spiritual gifts that surprises you?
That I see it in different people in a different way.
Just starting to kind of look at people and see what their gift might be.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Well, I've taken the class before, but one of the things that struck out to me this week is just how it works together, how it plugs together. You know, that's the thing that continues to help us, the fact that it's a gift given by God, and we use it through His ministries, and there's an effect. And the greatest thing is the effect doesn't depend on us.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, even though we might not see that it works together sometimes, but we have a God in control, and He it does. You know, that there are the effects. When I saw the results, that there are results to our gifts, even though we don't always see them. God is in control of all of that.
Anybody else? Did you learn anything that maybe it didn't surprise you, but that was just a blessing to you this week? What about your gift? Are you starting to kind of think about it, or do you think you might know what it is? I know Brandy's totally confused about what hers is. And a lot of times we go into this thinking, I know my gift, and then we find out that ain't it.
When I took the test, I didn't realize mine was what it really is.
Yeah, and we did, and we'll do that again after this, because we did that a little, you know, after just doing the taste of it we got in Romans last fall, but we'll do that again when we're all done, and it's really better to do this study first and really understand what the gifts are. And those of you that weren't here last fall, we did some little tests that, you know, we keep in mind are man-made, but that kind of got us into looking at what
Can
we
ask
think.
A question?
Sure.
Are you free to come to the individual churches and give the test?
What do you mean?
There's a lot of people in the different churches.
Oh, you want me to come and administer the test? If they want me to, I will. But first,
you have to be invited. I know.
Well, but first, what really needs to take place before you give a test is people need to understand what the gifts are. And there actually is, Miss Madeline, there actually is a seminar that I am allowed to teach by precept that churches can have me come and teach. There's one called Introduction to Inductive Bible Study. And then there's another one called Finding Your Place of Service in the Church, which is a mini spiritual gifts seminar. And they're about an hour and a half class. And so I am authorized by precept to be able to teach those classes. So, yeah, any church that would want to invite me to come do that, I'd be glad to do that. So, anyway, so let's go ahead and we'll take our break. And let's pray. Let's close in prayer so those listening online will feel like they were not just cut off and dropped. So let's pray. Lord, we are so just astounded by your word and just how personal it is to us, Lord, and how applicable. And I know that I'm just amazed at how many times I've studied 1 Corinthians 12, and yet it's fresh every time. And Lord, help us to remember that we cannot understand your word and its truth apart from the teaching and leading of the Holy Spirit. So we ask that we would just be so in tune with his leading as we go through these scriptures and study. We pray that you would help us to be diligent. Lord, I know I've had such a busy week, and it's just so easy to put off our study, waiting for that quiet moment that never comes. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to make time and carve out that time to study your word. We thank you for each one here today. And Lord, we pray for those who are not, and that you would just be with them. And I pray especially for those, Lord, that are doing our study online, Leisha and Jennifer and Carolyn. And I just pray, Lord, that they don't have that camaraderie that we have here and that fellowship, but I pray that they can feel it even through this recording, Lord, that they can know that we are praying for them and we feel that they are a part of our class. And Lord, we just thank you for everything you've given us. Help us to serve you today. In Jesus' name, amen.